Hi, everyone. My name is Susan. I'm a compulsive eater. Thank you. Take a breath. Take another breath. I'm very grateful to be here. I hope that something I say, or maybe a few things that I say, makes some sense to you and brings some meaning. Wow, the room got quiet all of a sudden. Okay, well, I'm Susan C. I'm from Staten Island, New York. And what can I start saying about myself that you don't know? You know, something that you don't know. I have the same story pretty much as anyone else here. I am a compulsive eater. Sometimes my story is a little different. I've been a compulsive eater since I was very little. And the thing is, I didn't know it. I mean, I didn't know it. I just thought everybody thought about food all the time. And everyone was interested in going down to the corner candy store, and if I didn't have enough money in my pocket, well, I would take some money from my father's dime collection, which was the beginning of me being a little bit of a thief. And I didn't realize that a dime was valuable in for something other than getting something at the corner candy store. But I mean, now that I think about it, that took a lot of nerve to take money out of a coin collection, you know, that, but I, you know, that was just part of me being unaware of so many things around me. Yes, as I said, I was a compulsive eater since I was a little kid. There were plenty of people in my family that liked food. I had a lot of cousins. I had a lot of cousins who were just happy to be food buddies with me. I don't know if they really turned out to be compulsive eaters. I just know that you know, we did a lot of things together that there was always, it always centered around food. Or if we went roller skating, it was, you know, let's go and see where the food is. If we went to the movies, and that was my childhood. It was my childhood, and it was my teenage years, and it was my young adult years. I just want to say something positive about how long I've been in Seahaw. I went to the phone bridge get-together tonight, and we were standing up and talking about what brought us to Seahaw, and you know why we're here and why we stay. Well, I didn't start off with a food recovery in Seahaw. I started off in a different program. But I've been in food recovery for 30 years. And when I found OA, I thought that it would be a good idea for me to see if I could save my marriage or make my marriage work. And I was happily a compulsive eater until I started living with someone who wasn't a compulsive eater, and he just noticed a lot of things, like, why are you eating that whole piece of this whole thing, or, you know, did you notice, you know, what that food was or that food? I mean, he was in a different state with drinking, but you know, it seems like drinking, you know, was more acceptable, or at least in some people's eyes, it was more acceptable. To me, they're all addictions. No matter what it is, it's an addiction. So anyway, I thought, well, I had been in an Al-Anon program for a good while, one thing, when you're in one program, you tend to hear about other programs. And so luckily I found out about OA. And the first meeting that I went to was in the back room of a restaurant. And I just love that. I really love the idea of, I mean, I don't even think I was taking it seriously. It's like, okay, well, it's something, and then it's connected with food, so maybe it's good, maybe it'll work. I really liked, like I said, I was a compulsive eater for my whole life, and I did what I wanted, and I ate when I wanted, but I didn't see that I was making much strides in the feelings department, relationships. My food was pretty clean, but it was a strange, there wasn't really a food plan. And something happened where I was in Florida, Hollywood, Florida, if anybody remembers the meetings down in Hollywood, Florida, and Fred and everybody, you know. Yeah. Well, I was going to OA happily, and what they did is that they had a CHOW meeting in tandem on a Saturday morning at 10 a.m., and one room was OA and one room was CHOW. And I just wandered into the other room. I don't even know the reason why. One thing is, I liked the literature. I noticed that. I really liked the literature. And what had happened was that being in OA Howe for a couple of years, there was a similarity. You know, there was a lot of the same or similar literature. And I'm not sure why. I don't know why that happened. But I would go to that CHOW meeting down in Hollywood, Florida, and there I heard recovery. I heard things that I didn't hear in my regular OA meetings. So for a while, I just went to both, and I didn't know. I liked my friends back in New York. I liked the meetings in New York. And we always went out to lunch after the meetings and all that. And it was a good part of my life. And then at some point I said, well, this won't work permanently. I really need to make a choice. I need to make a decision. And I came into CHOW in October 23rd, 2006. But, you know, there was a good 3 or 4, maybe 5 months where I was going to both. I mean, I remember going to a convention in the other program and then calling in my food to my sponsor in CHOW. And I said, this something's not right here. Something else needs to be figured out about this whole thing. So I did make a decision. I had been going to a school, a cooking school. So there's the food thing again. I was having a really hard time in school as an adult, as an older adult. Most of the people in cooking school were young, and they worked fast, they talked fast, they worked fast, they did everything fast. And I was having like practically panic attacks. In fact, I think I did have a couple of panic attacks, but you know, just having to perform, you know, to do what we needed to do in this particular cooking school. It was plant-based cooking, by the way, for those people at the business conference today. So I know a lot about plant-based food, and some of it is very good. But I found that most of the people there in my cooking class who were, and this is not anything about CHOW, but the people that were in my cooking class who were vegetarians and vegans and everything, they ate sugar like crazy, like nuts. And then, you know, if I brought something in for lunch, you know, which was in the meat department, they would practically, they would make faces and they would, you know, they would just say, what an awful. But the sugar was incredible. I did manage to get my certificate in that cooking school. I never did too much with it. I have volunteered some in some cooking classes, cooking organizations, like City Harvest. To work in a kitchen, I learned that it would be very difficult for me. I think the people that work in restaurants and in the food trade businesses, they're amazing. But not for me. Anyway, I did get good experience, and I really know my way around the kitchen and with knives and cooking implements. But anyway, what does it have to do with my recovery? I really jumped into Seahow right about that same time in October of 2006, and we didn't have any meetings. Where I live on Staten Island in New York City. But there were some meetings in Manhattan, and I met some people that helped me along. In fact, while I was in cooking school, that's food again, but the cooking school, there was a meeting about a half block away, and you know, for me, convenience is everything. It's like, oh, I could walk to this meeting, I might as well go. And I remember going to the meeting, and I mean, I wasn't able to share or anything, but people would just stick around after the Seahow meeting and spend time with me and talk, and I could get to share and talk. And I don't know, it grew on me. I did like it. And the phone bridge was just starting, or maybe it had been a year or two. So I knew I had phone bridge meetings, and I did have some meetings in Manhattan. The phone bridge for me has been amazing. You know, it's a bridge, but it's more than a bridge. And I just want to talk a little bit about what my recovery means to me and how grateful I am. I'm certainly not finished. You know, I'm certainly a good example of a work in progress. You know, and every time I do an inventory, or every time I'm working with a sponsee and I'm trying to, you know, to tell the sponsee what to do, or you know, something comes out in me, like some of my, you know, not so pleasant traits, like getting angry. You know, imagine me getting angry, but yes, you know, things like that. But what brought me to Seahow? Why do I stay? Well, the words that people usually say are, you know, structure and discipline. And I find that I need that. I need that because there's a lot of my life that you know, I just zone out. I go somewhere else, and the structure and the calls and the meetings and the service and seeing people and meeting people over these last 15 years. I don't know everybody in this room, but I know enough people now. I know a lot of people, and people have become I don't put people on a pedestal, but people have become my role models, and I can't be them. You know, I might not be, good at something, you know, one skill or another, but the role model means to me that their recovery shows. There's something in them where their recovery shows, and also that they have something, and I hear their stories. When I hear people's stories, and I see where they come from, and how, you know, how difficult their life is. you know, I want that. You know, I can't change them, I can't change me, but I want to be able to stand up here and say, you know, things are not 100% right in my life, you know, personal life, you know, even in program, there's ups and downs in program. But, you know, I'm here, and I can handle it. I, you know, and if I can't handle it, I know I can call someone else, and we could say the Serenity Prayer together, or I can call someone and say, hey, what's going on with you? What, you know, what's your day like today? And I could listen, and I can share. And, you know, being able to share and to care about what somebody else wants or wants to say, that's pretty good for a compulsive eater, for an addict. For someone who, you know, when I was 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years old, you know, I was getting worse and worse. I, you know, it was, my world was, you know, Susan's world. It wasn't the world around me. And after a while, it's progressive. And I mean, I don't know what happens in a child's mind, you know, in their development, but it really does affect, you know, the way I learned, the way I thought about myself, the way I was selfish. And like I said, a thief, you know, I don't know how I could ever make amends for those dimes that I took out of my father's dime collection and various other things, you know, and what the 12 steps has done, you know, it's, you know, for me to be grateful for the steps and the traditions and the concepts. I've been around CHOW now long enough to know that there's more than just the 12 steps, as if that wasn't enough. You know, the traditions are important, the concepts are important, and I can't do this. I can't figure this out because my, you know, it doesn't matter how smart I am or how you know, advanced I am in one way or another. I still can't figure life out, and I need the prayers. I need the steps, the traditions, the concepts, and I need like everyday challenges. So even to be grateful for challenges is amazing. To say thank you, thank you for that higher power, instead of saying the opposite of that, you know. But well, I just know that. It hasn't been an easy year or so for me. You know, personally, I lost my younger sister. She passed away in October, so it hasn't even been a year yet. So I'm wearing her bracelet. You know, people sometimes, it's not on my timetable, it's on God's timetable. You know, my sister died too soon. And she was probably one of us, but she certainly had other things going on, you know, with addictions and all that. But I was glad, not that she was sick and dying, but I was glad that I could spend some time, and I was grateful that I could spend some time with her at the end of her life. And I learned that I could have done better, you know, I could have done a lot better, but I'm grateful that we had some good quality time together. And I don't really think she's gone completely. I don't believe people, you know, like just like vanish. And you know, whenever I think about her or think about her spirit, and what she would say, you know, if you know, in a certain situation, you know, if somebody's, you know, politics or, you know, a certain situation, she had a wicked sense of humor. And, you know, I'm just glad that, you know, that I was on the same wavelength with her sometimes. And I'm sad that I wasn't able to, I guess this is like a fourth step or a fifth step. Maybe it's a ninth step, I don't know. But I wish I would have been able to be more responsive to her. And I don't know, you know, I don't know how that could have been better, but, you know, it is what it is. And so maybe I'll just bring that lesson to the next, you know, the next experience I have, the next relationship. I'm trying to think of some other things that I'm grateful for. I'm grateful that my talk is almost over. I know we're not timing, so I really don't know about what it is. And I'm grateful that we're having a talent show, and that's something really to look forward to. There's always some good things going on with conventions, you know, and whether it's the raffle or, you know, whether it's the workshops, the speakers, the talent show, the dance, the fashion show. There's so much, and it's really good to be up here and to see faces and see smiling faces at me. And I don't know what you're all thinking, but I'm thinking that I'm really glad to be here and to be asked, you know, to be asked to speak. So thank you. Thanks for listening.